Well, praise the Lord. As you've seen in your program, the theme is Within the Veil. And this is a continuation study in the Tabernacle of Moses. We looked last convention at the Holy of Holies, the battle to overcome. We had looked at the perils of the outer court before. And we see that in the outer court, there is very little protection, but in reality, the birds of the air can come in. And as it speaks in John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, and we've already heard a prophetic message on this passage, little children are in the outer court, you know, often tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. But into the Holy of Holies, there are the overcomers, the young men who are strong. They have overcome the wicked one. The word of God is within them. And then tonight and during this series, we are going to speak of within the veil into the Holy of Holies with God. And we want to, by the grace of God, experience passing within the veil. And I want to speak now on the theme of within the veil. And essentially, this veil was hung on four pillars. And these four pillars are very important indeed, because these four pillars hold up the veil, and the veil is placed there, was placed there by God to show that in the Old Testament, the way was not open to go within the veil, and only the high priest, and before that Moses, only the high priest could go once within the veil on the Day of Atonement. But I want to look at these four pillars with you at this moment. They hold up the veil. And the number four is very significant when it comes to sacrifice, because the institution of the Passover, the lamb had to be chosen on the 10th day, and it had to be kept until the 14th day. And during that time, it was carefully inspected, 4 days of inspection, to make sure that that lamb met all the requirements to be without blemish and therefore could be sacrificed before God. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, was inspected meticulously by four people. The first was Annas, the high priest, and then his son-in-law, Caiaphas, followed by Herod the tetrarch, and finally Pilate the governor. All proclaimed him without fault. But, you know, when we come to these studies, it's not only to look at how Christ fulfilled these types, but to see what the requirement is for us to pass within the veil. And here we have these four pillars. Four pillars. Four inspections. And first of all, we are inspected by Satan. I wonder if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles in the New Testament to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And there we are told in verse 6, not a novice, lest being uplifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And there we see one of the things that must be eliminated from our lives, pride. For if we are lifted up with pride, we come under the condemnation of the devil, who is the master of pride. And it's so interesting, you know, when a person has a fault, they can pick that fault up very easily, you know, in other people. And there it is. We have to be clothed upon with the humility of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. That being equal with God, he felt it not robbery there to be proclaimed equal with God. But he humbled himself. And he went down and down and down, being emptied of the glory of heaven, until he became a seed in the womb of Mary. And then became a man, humbled himself to become a man, and then to walk in absolute obedience to the will of his Father, and then to suffer the humiliation of the cross. Well, that's pillar number one. Pillar number one. Pillar number two, you see, we again find in this passage is the world. 1 Timothy 3:7. The world. 1 Timothy 3:7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. A good report of those that are without. Our life must be blameless so that the world cannot point a finger at us. Of course, they might ridicule us and so forth, but they must have no justification for their accusations. And so it is very important that we live this life in a manner that the world sees that we are different, and that we practice what we preach. And then the church. You know, the church must find us without fault. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And so, therefore, we see this everywhere now, the thought of marriage and the family, that the church has every right to believe that when we stand in the pulpit, that our family life is beyond reproach. It is inconceivable that we can stand in the pulpit and preach when we are not walking uprightly and in harmony with our spouse. It is inconceivable that such a man should be behind the pulpit, because in so doing, he is in actuality a hypocrite. If his family is not in order, then he has no right to be in the pulpit. Because what he's saying, well, look, I cannot look after my family, but I will look after you. Well, the Word of God says, oh no. Our family life must be in order. The church has every right to expect that those who preach and teach, their families are in order. And then, of course, the final pillar is Christ himself. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer to the things that are done in the body. We must so live as Pastor Wallace brought out this morning, in the fear of the Lord, so that our words and our actions are without reproach in his sight. And so there are the four pillars that hold up the veil. And those four pillars, if we could say this, are four inspectors: Satan, the world, the church, and above all, Christ. And so as we contemplate, you know, coming in within the veil, let us realize those four inspectors are there to determine whether or not we can come within the veil. Now we're told that the veil is a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. And that veil, and I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20, is his flesh, is his flesh. And so, on the cross, the veil was rent, and the Holy Ghost signifying that the way was now open to enter within the veil into the Holy of Holies. Now, I want to say concerning the veil that there are two very important aspects concerning the veil. It is a spiritual experience, a spiritual experience. And excuse me, but I just have to give my own testimony because it's so vivid in my spirit. You see, when the Lord was dealing with me when I was a young minister in an evangelical church, the Lord said, is your life going to be victory, defeat, victory, defeat? And I cried out, oh no. And he said, well, I'm going to ensure that your life is one of victory. And essentially, he started to deal with things in my life. And I want you to be open as I speak. And let the Holy Spirit speak to our own hearts, because we want an experience tonight to pass within the veil ourselves. And the Lord started to put his finger on things in my life. Some things I thought, you know, were immaterial. Some I even thought were good. But no, not in his sight. And I had to relinquish them. And some were very easy to say, oh yes, Lord, you know, I give that up to you. Others were more difficult. I had to pray through. But then, and this is the important one, it came to my wife. And he said, will you give me your wife? Well, having had experience of the Lord, I knew that in asking for my wife, something was going to happen to her. And I said, I cannot. And so, very graciously, he smiled, and that was it. And then a few days later, I was in a meeting, and some evangelist was speaking. And then afterwards, he said, anybody want prayer, come to the front. And the Holy Spirit said, you go up. I went up. I don't know if he even touched me, but the power of God came upon me. I was slain in the spirit. And the Lord spoke to me, now about your wife. And he said, who loves her most, you or me? And I said, what do you do? And then he said, who has the greatest power to look after her, to preserve her? You? Well, I couldn't move, you see, so, or me? And I said, well, you do. Then he said, why don't you give her to me? And I can't explain what happened, but it was a hand came into my heart. But my heart became soft, and I could release my wife to the Lord. Well, a few days later, I was in my church office about 10 o'clock in the morning, and the Holy Spirit, I didn't see his form, but the presence of the Holy Spirit came in, and I saw Christ on the cross in a vision, of course, and I was lifted up to hang with Christ upon the cross. And that is the experience of Romans 6:6. And it's a very important experience because Romans 6:6 says this. You know, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be rendered inactive, that henceforth you should not serve sin. That word knowing is by experience. And here was experience. I knew that when Christ was on the cross, my old man was on the cross too. And then that vision ceased. And then I saw the veil. And anyway, the veil, but the veil is not like you're going to see now, the veil is not quite like that, because the veil's a very thick and heavy material, and it's bluish, purplish, scarlet, and so forth. But I saw it rent from top to bottom. And then that ceased, and then from my innermost being, the roll of the Spirit, and out of my mouth came the words of Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. And it was a very glorious experience. Now that has been my message of the veil for a number of years. But at the beginning of this year, you know, and a bit later on into the year, the Lord started to speak to me about the other aspect of the veil, which I had not considered, but then he related it to my wife. And, you know, he said, you know, the veil speaks of my flesh. And whilst there is a spiritual experience of knowing that our old man was crucified with him, yet there is another ongoing experience whereby we understand that that veil speaks of his flesh. And he related it to my wife. You see, I knew that when he said, will you give me your wife, I knew it was going to be a very costly situation. I just knew it in the spirit. And my wife had one operation after another. And in one operation where, you know, her heart was taken out and cut in two and new valves put in, I was in the chapel of the hospital when that took place. And I had the experience of Luke chapter 2 and verse 37, where Simeon, looking at Mary, says, and a sword shall pierce thy soul. And apparently the same time that the surgeon cut my wife's abdomen open, you know, I felt the sword going into my own heart. It was very real. It was very painful. It was very costly. And then, you know, my wife had a life of suffering. And, you know, when you are married and you love one another, you know what one goes through, the other goes through two in a certain extent. And one of the scriptures that my wife kept repeating, you know, from almost that day onwards, because of a hospital visits and eventually, you know, the fact that she was stricken with a stroke, one of the scriptures that she quoted so often was 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Corrie ten Boom had an operation towards the end of her life, after she had come out of the Nazi occupation and so forth. And it was a very painful operation. And she asked the Lord why she was having that operation. And the Lord said, "It's part of my crucifixion." We don't often relate, you know, physical suffering to the crucifixion. But the Lord certainly related that to Corrie ten Boom. He said, "You are passing under the knife." To understand something of my experiences on the cross. And I'd like to look now, because that veil is his flesh. And I'd like to look with you now at something of the physical sufferings of Christ. The physical sufferings of Christ. For example, on the cross, he died not from the crucifixion, but in Psalm 69 and verse 20, he said, "Reproach hath broken my heart." And that reproach came from being despised. In Psalm 22 and verse 6, "He was full of heaviness. His bones bore that reproach. And then, you know, many years ago, my wife and I were in a certain city, and we were going to another city. And on the way, there was a city in the midst of these two cities. And I said to my wife, "We are going around that city. For in that city, there is a certain lady whose tongue, well, I leave you to imagine what kind of tongue she had. It was a terrible tongue. It lashed at virtually everyone. And I said, "We are going to avoid it." She was a pastor's wife. Anyway, we are going to avoid it. And having made that decision, it's nice to be the man, you make the decision. Anyway, the thing is my wife said, "Oh, yes, dear, as you wish, you see." But then that night, about 3 o'clock, I was woken up. I felt the presence of the Lord. I felt he wanted to speak to me. And I knelt at a chair in another room, and I had a vision of the Lord. I had a vision of his face. I saw his beard plucked off. And the scripture that came to me was, "I gave my face to the smiters." And the Lord said, "You will give your face to the smiters." In other words, you will pass by that city. Well, I said, "Yes, Lord." So anyway, I said, "Dear, our itinerary has been changed by the Lord. We have to pass through that city." And, you know, we went to the church service, and I made sure that we sat on the back row. Normally, I come to the front, you know, where the glory comes out. But I made sure I was on the back row. I said to my wife, as soon as that closing hymn has finished, we're out. But I was not quick enough. There was the pastor's wife. And I tell you, I can't remember what she said, but I remember what I felt. It was so my skin was being pulled off by her tongue. Yes, you know, experiencing the sufferings of Christ. And then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, I bear in my body the marks or stigmatas of the Lord Jesus. You know, I don't know if you've experienced this, but in some situations, you know, you can experience, you know, the nails in your hands, and sometimes in your feet, and sometimes in your side, the sphere. And that's what Paul meant by the stigmatas of Christ. You can go through those experiences whereby you feel those nails being driven into your own hands. And for what reason? Well, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, it is to fill up the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ in our flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And so, you see, we are called upon to fill up the sufferings of Christ, you know, in our bodies, to experience the physical suffering of Christ, you know, as he determines in our body. And, you know, that often takes the form of operations. It often takes the form of so-called accidents, which there's no such thing as an accident, of course, because otherwise you would be at the mercy of anything. But, no, God leads us through physical suffering that we might indeed be able to pass within the veil. You see, I'd always looked upon the veil as a spiritual experience. It is. It is a literal spiritual experience whereby you know that you know that you know that your old man is crucified with Christ and that you have the testimony of Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. But the Lord has been emphasizing to me the past few months, yes, that passes you within the veil, but the veil also speaks of my flesh. And you have to experience in your body something of the sufferings of Christ. Now, as I say, you know, when the surgeon's knife went into my wife's chest, you know, to open it up, literally a sword went through my own heart. You know, sometimes your suffering is through your partner. Sometimes you yourself experience these things. And it is very important to understand this, that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 36, Psalm 44 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, for thy sake we are killed every day long. Well, being killed is not just a faint. It really means going through physical sufferings. You know, as we look at the sufferings of Christ, You know, we think of his mind. You know, those thorns pushed in to his brow, the blood streaming down. But you know, God can pass us through situations where our mind, if I could say this, is tormented. And we suffer, you know, the battles in the mind. The sufferings of Christ are represented in that veil. And many of you, dear ones, have been suffering, and you sometimes wonder why. You know, the Lord warned me, you know, the sufferings of my wife. You know, in fact, when I was leaving Switzerland with my wife, after we'd been married in England, and leaving Switzerland to come to the United States, you know, I was impressed by the Lord to say, Lord, what is the truth that you're going to work out in me in the United States? Didn't expect the response, crucifixion. But there you are, you see. And the Lord has been impressing upon me that when we pass through physical suffering, it is not El Hazar, it's not by chance or so forth, but it's often because he wants us to experience something of his physical suffering. And the ultimate purpose is that we cease from sin and we qualify to pass within the veil. Now, I have been very burdened, you know, for this convention, to realize that God wants us to leave the outer court, being little children, playing with, if I could say this, the vanities of this world, and yet still, you know, holding to salvation, water baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that God wants us, as we said in the last convention, to pass through those five pillars and come into the Holy of Holies, to be overcomers. But you notice that the prophecy tonight spoke also of fathers. And they are those who pass within the veil and come into the Holy of Holies. And tonight, you know, I've had a consciousness, you know, that God wants us to pass within the veil. Pass within the veil. What are the qualifications? Well, you don't have to have an operation to pass within the veil, but you have to have the spiritual experience whereby you have said to the Lord, yes, I'll give this up, I'll give that up. In other words, you're holding on to nothing. And you are willing to die daily for him, spiritually speaking. And tonight, I have felt, you know, what did the prophecy say? You know, those who are fathers are invited to into his chambers, invited to his table, invited to sup with him. You know, it's almost like the priests of Zadok. You know, the Levites went astray, but the faithful priests of Zadok, they remained firm. And what was the result? Well, the Lord said, yes, the others will be restored, but they'll stay in the outer court. But those priests of Zadok, you know, who were faithful, they shall come and minister to me at my table. And I felt, you know, as a fellowship, individuals, that God wants us, as Pastor Daniel said, you know, to hit the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not to be content with the outer court, not even to be content with the holy place, you know, with its marvelous anointing, the seven spirits, you know, the showbread, the altar of incense. No, there's something greater. And you know, in the Old Testament days, you know, the priests who were permitted to minister in the holy place would look longingly at that veil. Their heart's desire of all the pious was to go within the veil, but they couldn't. There was no sacrifice that could permit sinful man to go into the literal presence of God. It had to be the sacrifice of Christ, who by a new and living way opened up the veil that we can go through into the literal presence of God. Now, what is the experience of going through the veil? Well, I said it's to know that we are crucified with Christ. But that experience, there's such a quietness, there's such a peace, there's such an anointing. You know, it's this whole purpose of suffering is to make us partakers of his holiness. And, you know, as Pastor Daniel said, you know, we're on the threshold of a mighty move of God. And as Pastor Wallace said this morning, you know, we are to be prepared to be used in this mighty move of God. But you see, where are we going to minister from? See, where are we going to minister from? You know, we want to minister from the Holy of Holies. We want to minister from the very presence of God. We want to speak as the oracles of God. We want to speak as knowing the Father. We want to speak as knowing the Son. And that's what the Apostle John said. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And the burden I've had and the experience and excitement I've had is that we will indeed pass within the veil. Now it can be done even tonight. Even tonight, as I said at the beginning, you know, has the Lord been speaking to you? Has he been speaking to you this morning or this evening? Has he been speaking to you and saying, well, look, I want these things given up to me? And have you been saying, Lord, they're yours? See, nothing between, nothing between, nothing between my Savior and me. Nothing between, nothing between. All to Jesus I have given, you see. And in so doing, you see, we can spiritually pass within the veil. But you know, the experience I had preceded, you know, the physical suffering. And you see, so often, these are two experiences. One, the spiritual experience. Yes, I've surrendered. Yes, I belong to the Lord. Nothing between me and my Savior. And the Lord witnessing it with the assurance, yes, I can say I'm saved. I can say I'm water baptized. I can say I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. And also I can say I'm crucified with Christ. And that is the experience that each and every one of us can have, young and old alike. You see, a sense of the fact that I spiritually, that veil is open, and that I can come boldly unto the mercy seat of God and have my requests answered. And so I'm going to invite you this evening, that you will indeed, by the grace of God, be able to enter within the veil. And how will you know? I tell you this, there is an assurance. There's a quietness, there's a peace. Oh, it's so beautiful. There's a sense I'm in the very presence of the Lord. And so we're going to invite you now.